your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 13 this morning. Romans chapter number 13. And when you find your place, we'll stand one last time if you're physically able to, and in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Aren't you glad for your King James Bible? Amen. Romans chapter 13. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 8 this morning. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I'm interested in verse number 11 where he says, "knowing the time." And that's what I want to preach for a few minutes with the Lord's help on this morning, of that thought, that phrase there, knowing the time. Knowing the time. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to let us be in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for Lord, the good week you gave us this last week. Lord, for your protection. Lord, for your provision. And Father, I thank you for giving us another Lord's Day, for the health and the ability and the blessing that it is to be in the house of God. Lord, I thank you for what's been done this day already, for the Sunday school hour, and Lord, for the good old hymns that we've sung, and Lord, for the prayers that have been prayed, the giving that has been done, the good fellowship. Father, I just thank you for it all. Lord, thank you for the blessing it is to still be in the old time way. And Father, to have a Bible, and Lord, to have your Spirit guiding us into all truth. Lord, it's just a blessing. We thank you so much for it. And Father, I pray that you would help us now as we've come to this time of preaching. Father, I pray, Lord, please, that you would help me this morning, that you would give liberty and vocabulary. Father, I pray that you would help me to preach, permit me to preach. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say only what you would have said. Lord, I just ask that you would take over and take control, and may your will be done and accomplished. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, nudge me in the direction that you'd have me to go. And Father, help me to Lord, just be your mouthpiece this morning, and I pray that you'd give us all eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us, Lord, to receive from heaven what you'd have us to receive, and I pray for that one that may be lost among us this morning, that today would be the day of salvation, Lord, for that lost soul, and Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray that you'd draw us close to yourself. Help us to be what you'd have us to be. Lord, bless our church. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We looked back and started reading in verse number 8, and I've actually preached through those verses already, but the reason I went back and read those is because those verses kind of lay out the motivation for this last section of this chapter, of chapter 13. In other words, everything he talks about from this section of really verse number 8 down through verse number 10, dealing with the love, loving one another, loving thy neighbor as thyself. He says the very last phrase he makes in verse number 10 is that love is the fulfilling of the law. And the whole law and all the prophets are hung on that one command, and that is love thy neighbor as thyself, to love. That's the way Jesus loved. Amen? And so really that sets the whole tone and the whole motive for the whole rest of this chapter. From that point on, all the way to the end of verse number 14, as he closes out the chapter, it really is dealing with the motive of love. Everything we do from that point is to flow from having having the right love. And really, that's where everything flows from in the Christian life. If our love is right towards God, if our love and our affections are right towards His Word and towards the things of God, then everything else will fall into place. Amen? That doesn't mean we preach only on love because everything else will work itself out, because God put more than that in the Scriptures. Amen? And we preach and we believe and we live it all. But we'll never be able to do it and do it consistently and do it with a heart of joy and do it the way God wants us to do it if we don't love Him. Amen? And if we don't love one another. It all comes from a heart of love. Listen, trying to please God without a heart of love, without charity. Amen? I tell you what that is. That's empty, cold, dead, dry religion. Amen? Listen, but there's warmth and there's joy and there's peace and there's you know, all the blessings of the Christian life whenever we do it from a heart of love. Amen? And so everything we see in the end of this chapter is motivated by love, and everything we see in the section that we're dealing with this morning is connected to the phrase in verse number 11, our text verse this morning, knowing the time. Knowing the time. Everything He's going to command from that point forward to the end of the chapter, it all goes back to knowing the time. How to live and what to do. Do all of these things because you know the time. And again, knowing the time is tied back to our love. That's what He said in verse 11. The first two words is, and that. And that, referring back to the love that He was just dealing with. So in other words, He's saying this is all about what to do based on your love for God, and you know, and you are knowing the time is nigh. We love the Lord, we look around, we see that we discern the times and the seasons, the days that we are living in. And so the fact that we love God and the fact that we can see and know and discern the times, He's laying out some things we ought to do and how we ought to live based on that. Amen? Now, we know this morning, I'm sure we all would say amen to the fact that His coming is imminent. It could happen any time. It could happen any moment. At any given time, in the twinkling of an eye, He could secretly come and rapture away His church as a thief in the night. Listen, when the world is not looking for Him, when most church people are not even looking for His coming, amen? At any given moment, before I'm done preaching this message this morning, Jesus could come, amen? And I don't know about you, but as a saved person and as a child of God, that gives me hope. Hallelujah. What used to scare me to death now is the greatest joy in my life whenever I look forward to and anticipate the coming of the Lord, that today could be the day. Amen. Listen, no more heartache, no more sin, no more problems, no more struggles. Amen. Some glad golden daybreak, the eastern sky is going to roll back and Jesus is going to appear. Amen. He's going to call us home. Hallelujah. And one of these days He's going to come, He's going to rule this thing with a rod of iron, and everything will lay out the way He wants it to lay out, and everyone will serve the way He wants to serve, and it'll be His word that goes. Amen. And we won't have to worry about other administrations anymore. Listen, it'll be King Jesus' administration. Hallelujah. Amen. And the time is nigh. The day is at hand. Knowing the times, brethren, God gives us a wake-up call and tells us what to do and how to live in this day and in this hour. Amen. See, there's a way that we are to live and things we are to do, and there's a mindset that we are to have as His people because we love Him and because we look around and we know the times. We know the times. Amen. See, for lost people, the fact that His coming is imminent, the lost people, eternal damnation and the judgment of God is drawing very near. It is drawing very near. But for the Lord's people, eternal deliverance and the grace of God quickly approaches. Amen. It won't be long now before we are singing Heaven's Jubilee in heaven. Amen. Before we won't just be singing it down here, but we'll be experiencing it up there. Amen. And if you're not for shouting down here, you better just get ready, brother. There's going to be shouting up there. There's going to be glorifying up there. No more dead church services. No more dead church members. Amen. No more problems. No more struggles. No more sin. Amen. We'll be at the feet of Jesus, and we'll be casting our crowns at His feet, and we'll be praising Him and worshiping Him and glorifying Him. Amen. Hey, we may as well get ready and get cranked up down here and get our practice in, because it's what we're going to be doing up there. Praise God. Not long from now, Jesus will come. Amen. Therefore, we are to be waiting, the Bible says, and we are to be watching with joyful anticipation for the coming of the Lord. And it could be today. Amen. It could be today. It could be today. Before the day is over, Jesus could come and we'll be out of here over on the glory land. Amen. Hallelujah. But Jesus does, God does give us some commands and lay out the battle plans for these days. And you better believe we are in a battle. I tell you, the devil, these are days of deception. Amen. Deception is a hallmark of the last days. Therefore, deception is a hallmark of the days that we're living in, because we're in the last days. Amen. And I'm telling you that God, that the devil has got a lot of God's people hoodwinked and got them deceived into thinking that a lot of things that they perceive as harmless. Listen, they are not harmless, brother. The devil is after you. The devil is after your family. The devil is after your children. Amen. And the harmless relationships that we have, and the harmless things that we're doing, and the harmless things we're being in our home, I'm telling you, they are not as harmless as you think they are. They are the snares of the devil. They are the traps of the devil. He is after us. Amen. And it is a battle that we are in. And it is to be taken seriously and not lightly. Amen. Thank God He gives us a battle plan. Thank God He exposes it for us. Amen. So that we will know what to do and know the mindset that we are to have in these last days. In verse number 11, he talks about our season that we're in. In verse 11, he uses the phrase, knowing the time. That is the title of the message this morning, knowing the time. But in verse number 12, look at what he says. He says, the night is far spent. He says, the day is at hand. It is at hand. You know, we ought to be among those that know the times. If anyone is able to discern the times and to be able to know, to be able to see the big picture, to know what is really going on in this day and in this hour in which we are living, it ought to be us. Amen. Those of us that have a King James Bible. Amen. Those of us that have an old-time Baptist church to go to. Amen. Those of us that hear preaching week in and week out, and we know the truth and have been taught the truth. Amen. What a disgrace it would be to be someone who would sit under the truth week in and week out and have a Bible day in and day out. Amen. And then not know the truth and be deceived by what is all is going on. If anyone ought to be able to discern the day and the hour in which we are living, it ought to be you and me, friend. Amen? Because He tells us right here, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And I'm telling you, we are a lot closer now than He was when He wrote that. Amen? Than Paul was when God gave it to him and told him to write it. Amen? Listen, the night's farther spent now than it was then. The day's more at hand now than it was then. Amen? I'm telling you, everything's playing out. Everything's laying out exactly the way God said it would. Listen, things are not falling apart in this country, and things are not falling apart in the church today. I tell you what they are. They're falling into place. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, things are going right along God's prophetic timeline. Things are falling right into place the way God said it would. And listen, it ought to surprise us, and it ought not even discourage us. Amen? It ought to encourage us that our Bible is true, and what God said would happen is going to happen. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's going to happen the way He said it was happening. No one will come in and mess up God's plans. Amen? And I'm telling you that Jesus could come at any time, because the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Hallelujah. And you ought to know the times. You and me ought to be able to discern the times. We ought not to be all caught up and tore up over what we're seeing on the news and what's going on in Washington and what's going on with Russia and what's going on with North Korea and all these things that are going on around the... That ought not bother us. It ought not faze us. Amen. Listen, and when the world's on fire, God's still going to take care of us as long as He leaves us here. Amen. But we ought to be able to look at the times and discern the times and know exactly what is going on. Amen. Isn't that right? And I say this regarding our season here, regarding the time, regarding the times. I say it involves two things. First thing, it involves the last times, and that's what we've been talking about. The last times. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse number 28, He told His disciples, He said that when we see these things begin to come to pass, talking about the last days, He said, then look up. Amen. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. And everything Jesus told His disciples would come to pass, and everything He said, whenever He said, when you see these things come to pass, everything He said has come to pass. Or is currently coming to pass. It's happening and unfolding right before our eyes. And if you read your Bible, you'll know. Amen. Listen, if you listen to God and you seek God, you'll know. You'll be able to discern the times. Amen. And everything He said would happen is happening. Therefore, we ought to look up. Amen. Our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Because these are the last times. They're the last times. Jesus could come at any moment. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Is a thief in the night, the Bible says. Amen? Listen, whenever man says peace and safety, is that not the message we've heard more in the past 3, 4 years, 5 years than we've heard any other? I can't think of any other time in my life where the global message. Now, you know what I said, global message. Everything is globalism. And it's all about global safety, global peace. Amen? Global economy. Amen? It's all about saving the trees and the lizards and the snakes and the bugs and the owls and saving the planet globally. I tell you, this world's become mighty small, hasn't it? You know what we've always said? It's a small world. That old Disney song, it's a small world after all. Amen? And the closer we get to becoming the Lord, the smaller it gets. Amen? Because the internet and all those things have connected us and brought us all together. And I'm telling you, friend, I'm not scared of it. It don't bother me one bit. I'm not for it, but I know it's got to happen. Amen? Universalism and globalism will come to pass because the Antichrist himself will bring in a one world government or one world religion or one world currency. Amen? Listen, I don't wonder if the dollar's going to collapse and we're going to go to some type of cashless society. I know that's going to happen, brother. Amen. I know all those things are going to come to pass. Isn't that right? And because, listen, the things that Jesus said would happen, the things that the Bible said would happen, they are all happening. It is all unfolding right before our eyes. Amen. And so He's talking about the last times. In other words, do all these things because you're living in the last days and you know, because you know the times. Do these things. But you know, He's also talking about our times too. Do you realize that you're not here by mistake? Our church is not here by mistake. You're not raising your family in these evil days by mistake. Amen. Listen, don't envy a different time. Amen. Don't begrudge the days that you're living in. Amen. Because God's still God today. Amen. And the God of today, He was the God of yesterday, is still God, the God today. And the God of today will still be God tomorrow. Amen. Listen, He was God back then. He'll be God tomorrow. He's still God right now. And every promise still reigns true. And we can still raise a godly generation. Hallelujah. We can still live in victory and walk in victory. Listen, we can still stay in the old time way. Amen. And I know we're not seeing a lot of results, but I tell you something, the Word of God's not lost any of its power, and I believe it just as much right now as I ever have. Amen. I still believe in preaching. I still believe in old time singing. I still believe in the old King James Bible. I still believe in the Spirit of God. I still believe in going door knocking. I still believe in screen door evangelism. I still believe in the gospel. I still believe all the things I've always believed. Amen. Because they're still true today. Amen. This is our time. Amen. It's not just the last time, it's your time. And God saw fit to put you here for a reason. If God wanted us somewhere else at a different time, He'd have put us somewhere else in a different time. Amen. Isn't that right? We talk a lot about the good old days. And I heard a man say this, and I believe it's true. He said, if you get to listening and you get to thinking, listen to what people are really saying when they talk about the good old days. Generally speaking, it always goes back to around the time they got saved. You know, you hear somebody talk to some older person, and they got back saved back in the 50s and 60s. You know, you talk to them as far as they're concerned, boy, that's when it was happening, man. That's when God was moving. That's when God was working. That's when we saw great revival. And I'm telling you, we're just not seeing it anymore in this day like we saw it back then. Amen. That's when it was really happening. Amen. But you talk to somebody a little bit younger, middle-aged person, may have got saved in the 70s or 80s or even the 90s. You know, they say, boy, back in the 80s, the mid-80s or the early 90s, well, that's when God was moving, buddy. That's whenever the revivals were happening. That's whenever Faith Baptist Camp was packed out. That's when the revivals were going on. That's when the big camp meetings were going on. And boy, people were getting saved and men were getting called to the preach. And boy, we just saw God do so much. And it just ain't happening today like it was back then. You talk to some young person, maybe just got saved in the early 2000s or mid 2000s, as far as they're concerned, buddy, that's when God was working, man. Boy, that's when revival was happening. That's when God was moving, man. And we're just not seeing it now like we was back then. It always goes back to when we got saved. Amen? See, I got saved in the mid-2000s, you know. I was 19 years old. It's the mid-2000s. And buddy, as far as I was concerned, man, that's when God was moving in our church. That's when we were seeing revival. I mean, that's whenever I was going to meetings and preachers were really preaching and God was really moving and God was really speaking. I mean, that's when it was all happening. Amen. In my mind, those are the good old days. But the good old days are always whenever you got saved. Ain't that right? Amen. Listen to me. Listen, be real careful about thinking one day is better than another day or one time is better than another time, because God's still God. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you that there may be days that we can look back on with great memories and thank God for them. Amen. And there ought to be some places and some areas of our lives, some times and some seasons of our lives that we set up a memorial. Amen. A time that we can go back to where we saw God provide, where we saw God work, saw God do things. See, God told Israel to do that. Set up memorials and build memorials so that your children, you can show them that memorial. Say, this is where God did this. This is where God did that. Amen. And you ought to set up some memorials in your memory. Amen. Times that you can go back to, that you can tell your children, listen, we didn't know how we was going to pay the bills, and we didn't know how we was going to take care of this need, but God came through for us. Amen. And if He's ever come through back then, He can come through again. Praise God. We ought to have memories. You ought to have memorials set up about when you got saved, so you can tell your children about the day the Lord saved you and who was preaching and what was going on and the revival that was taking place in your soul. Amen. But listen to me. One day is not better than another day. God's still God. God's in control. Amen. He's still on the throne. Amen. And it may not be the way that we've seen it in days gone by, but it's still your day, and it's still my day, and it's still the Lord's day. Amen. And God has not lost any power in this time. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? This is our day. Knowing the time, you better know the time. And these times are the last times. But these times are your times. These times are our times. Just like Esther said, who knoweth if God ain't put us here for such a time as this. Amen. God has determined your time. God has determined your season. And it is no accident that He placed us here in the last of the last days to see this thing on through before He comes, counting us worthy, counting us faithful to stand for Him and be strong, to be pillars of iron and stand for the glory of God in these last evil days of deception. Amen. Listen to me, brethren. If we don't stand, who's going to? We already know these are days of deception, and we already know there's another gospel out there, and there's many other Jesuses out there, and there's so many false prophets and all those out there. But listen to me, if we give up, and if we kill over, and if we quit, and if we throw up the flag of surrender, and if we give in, listen, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? God's called the church, amen? He hasn't called the public school system. He sure ain't called the government, amen. He ain't called the courthouse or the judges, amen. Listen, He ain't called anybody. He's called you and He's called me to stand for Him in these last days. And these are our days. These are our times, amen. Know the time. So we see our season, but then He deals with our sleep. He says in verse 11 that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now, so far as I know, everybody said amen to everything I've said so far. We know these are the last days. We know that these are our days. We know God's in control. Those are easy things to say amen to, isn't it? Because those are, I mean, when you know, when you're in a meeting, when you're in a service, and you know, the preacher's being preacher's preaching, the Bible's being preached. Listen, we can say amen. These are the last days. Amen. God's in control. Amen. That's right. But the rubber meets the road whenever we have to start living that. Amen. We have to take what we say amen to in here and take it out there. Amen. We have to put it in shoe leather. We have to live it before the world. And we have to stand for it before the world. And we have to preach this gospel before the world. We have to do what God's called us to do before a lost and dying world. Amen. Hey, I preached down at Mount Carmel this past week, and that's what I dealt with at Mount Carmel. Amen. Hey, if you go to a camp meeting, there's decisions made. There's commitments made. Amen. But listen, camp meeting and Bible conference and Jubilee, listen, that's not real Christianity. Anybody can go with the flow whenever you're in a big meeting and everybody's going right. Matter of fact, you'd feel out of place if you weren't doing right in that crowd. Isn't that right? That's why some people come into a church or come into a meeting, you know, and they're not dressed right. You give them a little while, most of them, they'll kind of clean that up a little bit. Not necessarily because it's in their heart, but because they don't want to feel out of place. Amen. I mean, nobody wants to be out of place anywhere they are. Amen. I mean, people, they'll clean up, they'll act right, they'll, you know, say, use the right lingo and all those things. Most of the time, not every time, but a lot of times, people will just do what they got to do to fall in, to fit in, amen? And by the way, it's good to have good peers. It's good to have good people around you that kind of pressure you to go the right way. It's a lot better to have good people around you pressuring you to go the right way than you do wrong people around you pressuring you to go the wrong way, amen? That's why I'm against this whole idea of using our children as little evangelists and little missionaries, thrusting them out into the public school and thrusting them out. Listen, they ain't ready to stand. Amen. Listen, they're not grounded enough to stand. Listen, the pressures of this life and the pressures of this world, listen, if the devil's going to use that to pull them aside and pervert their mind and pervert their thinking during the formative years of their life, and they're not evangelists, they're not missionaries. Amen. They don't need to be an evangelist. They need a parent. Amen. They need a preacher. Amen. They need a Bible. Amen. They need guidance, amen. They need to be protected in this life. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? And we all need that, don't we? We need people around us that'll pressure us to go the right way, not the wrong way. Amen. But listen, whenever you're in that environment and you're saying amen to everything that's being preached, and everybody around you's kind of pressuring you, so to speak, to do what's right and to live for God and to pray more and read your Bible more. It's easy to live for God in that environment. Isn't that right? And I preach at Mount Carmel, and I'll say the same thing here. Listen, this ain't real Christianity. The real Christianity, the real test of your mettle, the real test of your faith is who and what you are out there. Out there. Got a lot of chameleon Christians. And I think most of them aren't Christians at all. Where they say, I'm a Christian, I'm a church person, I'm a church member, amen, I love God, but they are who and what they are, depending on what crowd they're in. Because they're not looking to live for God. They're not looking to take a stand. They're not really doing what they do because they love God. They're just trying to fit in wherever they are. Isn't that right? And I'm telling you, that's what really makes a difference. That's what really matters. Not is that we know the times and that we know these are the last days. We know these are our times. But how are we going to live? How are we going to do? What are we going to do in these last days? And I'll tell you, the problem, generally speaking, is exactly what the Apostle Paul deals with under the inspiration of Almighty God right here. Isn't it amazing? All these years ago, God knew exactly what would be the biggest problem in the church in the last days. And here we are in 2022, and we're preaching just what God said all those years ago. Amen. And it is right where we are living. God hits the nail on the head in terms of exactly what needs to be dealt with in your life and in my life in these last days. Knowing the time, He said, it is high time to awake out of sleep. In other words, don't just know the time, but wake up because you know the time. Amen? Because you know the days that we're in. Listen, God, help us to wake up. Amen? God, help us to wake up and to rise up and to stand up and to clean up and to dress up and to go up and do God's will, to do what God has called us to do in these last days. Amen? One man said this. He said to wake up from our spiritual laziness and follow this command command is to be completely opposed to the sinful society of this world, to the fallen nature of humanity, and to the kingdom of Satan, which rejoices over idle Christians. And I'm telling you, if there's anything about Christianity that the devil and this world applauds and says praise the Lord to, it is idle Christianity. It's lazy Christianity. It is slothful Christianity. It is sleepy Christianity. If there's any kind of Christianity this world loves, it's idle Christianity. If there's anything about the modern church that the world today is applauding, it is our idleness. It is our apathy. It is the fact that many of who claim to be God's people are simply just asleep, have been lulled to sleep by the devil. See, this is not the day to give up. Amen? Listen, that's what the world wants to do. That's what the devil wants to do. That's what your flesh wants to do. Amen? Listen, everybody's going a certain way. They're all doing it. Every other church is doing it. Every other self-proclaimed Christian I know is doing it. Every other person I see on social media, everybody on Facebook, everybody on Instagram, they're all doing it. They're all going that way. They're all compromising. Amen? Listen, even some of the preachers that we know and have loved and respected through the years, even they're doing the same thing. Amen? And I'm not talking about young men my age. I'm not talking about men in the younger generation. I'm talking about men in the generation before. For me, men that I have loved and respected, men that we came up and God used them and they preached to us and they stood for what was right at one time, and now they're saying, well, I've seen a little different now. Well, I've been enlightened a little bit now. But I want you to know something. They are lying. Amen. They are lying. They have compromised. Amen. And I'm telling you what the devil wants you to do too is to compromise along with them. Amen. He wants us to compromise and to give up and to think we can't do it like we used to and God can't do it like we used to. But listen, this is not a day. This is not an hour to give up. This is a day to get up. Amen. Don't give up spiritually. Get up spiritually. That's what God says. Don't give up and go to sleep. Don't give up and lay down. Get up and get busy for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, sleep. And I believe I could take a Bible and prove this to you over and over and over and over and over. Sleep is dangerous to a Christian. I'm not talking about physical sleep because we all got to have it. I'm talking about spiritual sleep. I'm talking about mind sleep. Amen? I'm talking about physical laziness and just, you know, not really putting the pedal to the metal spiritually. This idea spiritually that I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do the better tomorrow. I'll get tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. Can I help you? There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. The day is today. The time is now. If we're going to do anything for God, we better do it now. Amen? And I'm not talking about doing something for God we can see results in. I'm talking about laying up treasures in heaven. I'm talking about glorifying the Lord, doing it because we love Jesus. Amen? If we're going to have anything to show when we stand before Him, we better get busy right now. Amen? Because He could come. Because He could come. Sleep is very dangerous to the Christian. See, we see that in David's life. When the time came that kings went out to war, and David was a king, by the way. In other words, whenever he was supposed to be doing his duty, where was he at? He was back home loafing. He was loafing. He was asleep, so to speak. When he should have had the pedal to the metal, when he should have been pushing forward and winning victory after victory. I mean, Brother Ernest said, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Amen? Listen, victory is mine, saith the Lord. Amen? And so when we should be seeing victory after victory, David instead, he was laying back, taking it easy. Isn't that right? That's whenever he spotted that old gal on the roof. Amen? That's whenever he committed a wicked sin, which led to another wicked sin, which led to another wicked sin, which led to the sword never departing from his house, which led to things never being the same in his life ever again. Isn't that right? Spiritual sleep. I'm telling you, we can see that over and over and over again. Sleep is dangerous for a Christian. Matter of fact, we just read in the very end of chapter 12, the very last verse of chapter 12, is be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You cannot do evil if you're busy doing good. Amen. But you lay back and you get lazy and you get slothful and you let your mind drift and you let your mind wander and you let your mind get onto other things, the devil will lead it to a dark place every time. Every single time. The Bible talks about vain imaginations. I'm telling you, you'll dream up things that ain't in a million miles of being true sometimes. Isn't that right? Well, I don't like the way she looked at me. She looked at me a certain way. He looked at me. He said something, but boy, he didn't say it the right way. I don't like the way he said that. I don't like the way she looked at me. They've got something against me. They ain't got nothing against you. They got a headache, man. She didn't look at you any kind of way. Listen, she's got gallbladder trouble and she's hurting, man. Listen, everything's not about you, amen. Vain imaginations. Get over yourself, amen. Everybody's not thinking about us and thinking about you and talking about us all the time, amen. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, the Bible never has anything good to say about the imaginations. Did you know that? You just look up any verse, get you a good concordance and go to the Bible and look up any verse that has anything to do with the imaginations of men, the imagination of men's heart. See, we teach little children from the time they were little, growing up, use your imagination. The Bible says casting down imaginations. Paul talked about bringing into captivity every thought. That deals with the imagination, things that come into the mind. And the Bible never has anything good to say about it. But listen, you'll never think good things or it'll be really hard to think to stop thinking evil things if you're not thinking good things. You have to replace evil with good. That's why it's important to listen to good godly music. That's why it's important to take in a good to have a good steady digest of preaching and reading your Bible and praying. Listen, it's all about immersing your mind in the things of God. You know how you get filled with the Spirit? You give yourself over to the Spirit. You give yourself over to the things of the Spirit. And part of that is putting those things in your mind. We talk about being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit as if it's some weird mystical thing. But you get filled with the Spirit the same way you get filled with the devil. We talk about someone being full of the devil. We're talking about the things, the habits, the things in their life, the sins that they are given over to. And boy, that takes them down a path of darkness and a path of destruction and the wickedness. And we say, man, that person's full of the devil. But you know how someone's filled with the Spirit? They give themselves over to the Spirit. They're totally given over to the Spirit. They're totally yielded to the Spirit. And all the things that they take in are spiritual things. All the things that they do are spiritual things. Isn't that right? Amen. I'm just simply saying, listen, sleep, spiritual sleep is dangerous for a Christian. You better be careful, and it will rob you of your opportunity. It will deprive you of your vision and your vigilance. And if there's anything we need in this last day as God's people, it is a vision and it is vigilance. Amen. We ought to walk vigilantly. We ought to be sober and be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. And he is walking about and he's not looking lightly harm you. No, he's looking to devour you. And all these things that he deceives us into thinking are harmless, harmless bad decisions, harmless mistakes, I'm telling you what they are. They are a snare. They are a trap that he is looking to consume you with. Amen. Sleep will deprive you of your vision and your vigilance. See, how can you watch and pray if you're sleeping? That's what Jesus said to the disciples there in the garden. He said, can you not watch with me 1 hour? You know why he said that? Because they were sleeping. They'd fell asleep on God. It'll rob you of your time and your opportunity to do anything for God. I'm thinking most of us are probably going to look back on our life and you're not going to regret the things you did for God. You're going to regret the things you didn't do for God. You'll never regret all the time you spent reading your Bible. You'll regret all the time you spent scrolling through wasteful, pointless junk online. Stuff that's may not necessarily be a sin in and of itself, but it's just a waste of time. And we'll look back and we'll say, boy, I wish I'd have read my Bible more. I wish I'd have prayed. That's the way most of us feel right now, isn't it? Is there anybody here that feels like you have a great prayer life and you've arrived in your prayer life that you've prayed just as much every day as you need to? Anybody? Anybody here that would say, by you know, raise of your hand and testimony, say, "Well, I know as much of the Bible as I need to know. I've got it all down pat." Anybody say, "Well, I've sold out and I've done everything God told me to do in my life. I've done just enough, I've got every day worked out. I've got enough time." But I tell you what, you get on your phone and you pull up that app timer and see how much time you spend on each app, and your phone will tell you that too. By the way, show you just how much time you spend on every app. My phone, matter of fact, every week. My phone gives me a notification of my time last week and how much my time either was up percentage-wise, either up or down, you know, and how much time averaged every day, how much screen time averaged every day. And I'm telling you, there's been times it makes me sick thinking about how much screen time. And it'll tell you right there. It makes me think, boy, if I'd only spent that time praying, where would I be with God right now? If I'd just taken that time and invested it into studying God's Word even more, if I'd invested into the things of God more, boy, where would I be with God right now? And I understand we can't spend every single waking hour praying. God doesn't expect us to. Whenever He says pray without ceasing, He's not talking about being held up in a closet somewhere, you know. Well, listen, we got to go. We got to work. We got to do all those things. But listen, we got to do all those things in God's will and with God's power and filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? Not wasting our time in spiritual sleep. Man, I'm telling you, that is a hallmark of the church in our day. We are asleep. We are apathetic. We are given over to time, things that just waste time. And the real problem in it all is that we don't have the time to waste. The time is now. The day is at hand. We don't have time to waste on frivolous things. I'm not talking about going out and taking some time with you and your family and taking some time off and you know, enjoying the good things. Listen, all that's good and that's right. God wants us to enjoy these days. God wants us to enjoy our life. Listen, living for Jesus, listen, it's the best life you can live. It's the abundant life. God wants it that way. Amen. But I'm simply saying that as a church and as God's people, we're going to really regret the time that we wasted, because spiritual sleep will rob us of our time. It'll rob us of our opportunity to do something for God. We ought to be redeeming this time. Redeeming the time in these evil days. Not sleeping through them. Amen. Too many are unaware of their surroundings. Amen. They're asleep. And so they're unaware. They're not vigilant. They're not sober. They're not watching. They're not seeing the devil in the details. They're not seeing the fingerprints of Satan on certain things. They're not seeing the intent, the real evil intent of a lot of things that the devil has dressed up as harmless on the outside. The devil has packaged sin and make it look harmless and make it look like fun and make it look like it's no big deal. And so because they're asleep, they don't see the devil in the details. They don't see his fingerprints on it. They don't see the evil that's coming down the road, and so they can avoid it for their families and avoid it for their children, lead their homes in a different direction to avoid the evil. Amen. They're asleep, so they don't discern it. And I'm telling you, in these days of deception, we must be a discerning people. We must be a discerning people. Amen. A lot of folks have no idea what's happening around them or what needs to be done by them in this day, because they're asleep. Verse 12, he says, "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." See, it's not the day to get used to the dark, even though these are dark days. It's the day to be the light God's called us to be. It's to put on the armor of light. Listen, these are dark days, and we talk about it all the time, and you believe it. Amen? But in the darkest of days, the brighter the light is. Amen? It's easier to stand out for God now than it ever has been if you'll put on that armor. Amen? If you'll wear the right thing. He says it's the armor of light. Amen? And listen, that's what the spiritual armor is. It is armor of light. It gives off light. Amen? And if we'll do what God's told us to do, and we'll live for God and take the stand He's called us to stand, we will stand out for the glory of God more now than ever before. Amen. Amen. He deals with our sleep. And then last of all, He deals with our salvation. In verse 11, He says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." And it's nearer now than it was whenever He penned that down. Amen. It's nearer than when we believe. And so we see the nearness of it. It's nearer now than when we believe. It's nearer than it's ever been. Listen, our salvation, the salvation of God's people is right on the brink. It's right on the horizon. At any time, we could be saved. Amen. You say, at any time we could be saved? I thought we were saved now. Well, that's why we see not only the nearness of it, but we see the nature of it. Because if you remember back a few chapters ago, we talked there, I believe it's in chapter 5, about how we are saved, but we're being saved, but we're going to be saved. That's the nature of salvation. Isn't that right? It includes past, present, and future salvation. Amen? We're saved. We're being saved. We're going to be saved. We've been saved from sin's penalty. We're currently being saved from sin's power. Amen. And not long from now, we will be saved from sin's presence. No more in the presence of sin. Amen. You know what this ought to do, what this ought to cause all of us to do? It ought to cause us to take heart if you're saved. That it won't be now. The struggle will be over. The struggle will be out of the presence of sin. We'll be with the Savior. Amen. But you know something else it ought to do? It ought to cause us to purify ourselves. Amen. It ought to cause us to really get serious and get sober about these things. I think there's really few doctrines in the Word of God more purifying than the second coming of Christ. I'm telling you, nothing put fear in my heart as a lost man more than thinking about the second coming of Christ. I'm telling you, listen, I'd hear messages on hell, and I'd hear messages on judgment, and that's scary stuff whenever you're lost. But something about the coming of the Lord, something about His face being appearing, amen? The Bible says in the last days that whenever He appears, that men will be crying out for the mountains to fall on them, that they would hide them from His face. Something about Jesus coming, and He's coming in wrath, and He's coming in judgment. He's coming to do all the things that He said He would do in Revelation. Amen. Something about that struck fear in the heart of this lost man. And even as saved people, I tell you, it causes me to want to purify myself. Because every morning we wake up, we ought to think, this could be the day. This could be the day. And there's joy in that, isn't it? But there's also a little bit of fear in that. It'll cause us to want to live for Him with joy. And I tell you what it does too. It puts everything in perspective here. It causes us to realize that the things that we, our flesh, would consider very important, it causes us to realize that it's not really that important. I mean, who cares what all my lost peers think about me? I mean, you know, fitting in to a lost society doesn't matter a whole lot whenever you realize Jesus could come today. Amen? What somebody says about you, some slide remark, some smart aleck remark, some persecuting remark, some persecuting question regarding the way you're living, the way you dress, the way you act, all the things that you do, you know, the things that you won't do. So listen, the persecution and the smart aleck remarks, the things that we get from the world and from religion, by the way, mostly religion. Listen, that stuff just does not matter that much. It just rolls off you like water off a duck's back, and you just don't care when you realize and you remember that Jesus could come to today. And He's the only one that it matters what they think. He's the one I'm going to give an account to. Amen. I tell you, it's our joy. It's our anticipation. But I tell you what it ought to do. It ought to call us to wake up, because it is high time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, brethren. God help us to be what He'd have us to be, knowing the time. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I thank You for helping us with Your Word, and I pray that You'll take it and use it. Help us, God, to be what You want us to be. Lord, I pray that You deal with all of us, Lord, according to Your Word, and Lord, according to Your will, and help us, Lord, to respond to You in the way You'd have us to respond. Lord, I thank You for Your Word, and thank You for what You're going to do now on the altar call. In Jesus' name, amen.